Your countdown clock has now terminated function. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up.
Right now, having a national security scare is actually good political news for the president and the White House and the Republican Party.
Morning, you are being monitored by CCTV.
But the problem today is that the situation is so large and so all-encompassing that whatever is going to happen, the whole world is going to feel it. Everything. Everyone's going to feel this one.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Illuminating Radio. Alex Ansari. Outside the Box.
So, yes, it is true that they're hiring foreign nationals, you know, to gain their citizenship in the United States by, you know, of course, joining our army. And this has been done before, apparently, in World War One and World War Two. If you want to go get citizenship in a certain country, go fight for them. Is this something that you think you're going to see more of then in the future with, you know, the whole concern about foreign troops in the U.S. policing us where domestic members of the military will not fire on other Americans?
Well, the speculation that I've read is that the New World Order wants a private mercenary force, because then the soldiers will not be loyal to the Constitution, and they, it won't make any difference who they fire on, because they'll just be following orders. While the American military will not want to fire on their own people, and they're loyal to the Constitution. So that's kind of the transition that we're kind of seeing take place now. And also the goal is to destroy the United States. But basically, it's the American military that's in the way of the final plans of the New World Order.
They've certainly done a good job at really hurting our morale. When it comes to the news and information, most people go, you know, I don't like the news. I don't pay attention to that because, well, they know they're being lied to, but it takes a little more effort to actually go out and find out what the truth is. And so it's kind of a dangerous situation. Hi, Fern. Hey, has anybody ever seen any Mrs. V videos out there on YouTube? That's who we're talking to now. Hi.
Hi. Without the mask.
Yes.
Okay, we were just talking about firing on your own people. Well, in Europe now, we've got the Gen 4, Euro Gen 4. That's the Euro Police Force.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a riot squad. They taking police from various countries, not all of them, and they're going to be used for peacekeeping purposes. And now all our troops are out in Afghanistan and Iran, Iraq. Subconscious slip there.
And expanding.
Exactly,
expanding,
yeah.
Expanding.
Now they're all out there. When we get trouble in the country that needs some peacekeeping, which undoubtedly they're thinking of revolution, then who are they going to bring in? And that's going to be the Euro Gen 4, which will come in. They say they're going to bring them in for the Olympics in 2012 to help us police the Olympics. And once they're in, they won't go out again. That'll be it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of concern because around the Olympics coming up soon, you know, they're trying to clean up that algae bloom right now in China. But that's the least of their problems. You know, they like the occult, too, like Hitler, who ran around with a torch in 36, started to run around with a torch and designed those rings that all came out of 36 Berlin. And he left and said, oh, but that was 36. It wasn't 38 yet. And Hitler didn't go nuts until 38. We're in the clear, you know. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way because we know what China's up to. And they're kind of into the lining up of the numbers and how they do things. They got set up. I don't know what this means. But on August 8th, 2008, 888 at 8:08 in the morning. So that they like their symbols and numbers as well. China's a weird place with their own drama. We were talking about China earlier. There's a story right now about a big riot that took place in China, as biggest since Tiananmen Square. 300 people have been arrested. Did any of you guys catch this in the news about the big riot in China? Okay, well, I'll tell you that it's a little disturbing, but what we have here is massive unrest started on June 28th in reaction to the authorities' cover-up of a alleged rape murder of a 17-year-old local female student. And the guy that did it was the son of a local politician. What we're dealing with is a body that was found that they said, you know, she just killed herself. When in reality, she was raped and murdered and her organs were found removed. And this was not the first time that this happened in this part of China. And so you have tens of thousands of people that are protesting, burning government buildings, at least three of them, with over 10,000 paramilitary police with batons and shields dispatched to deal with the violence. This is how these poor farmers are living there, cost of fuel going up, all this stuff going up, and they don't even feel safe. These are the same people that protest because they're getting sick from the new power lines that they're installing. The high voltage power lines are making people sick. So they're protesting that and they're squashing dissent. But anyway, that's some pretty scary stuff. And the idea of any Chinese people that are in the military in China, the PLA, coming here and have anything to do with law enforcement freaks me out and a lot of other people out. And I don't think that's going to be, you know, a reality soon, or at least I hope not. But then again, we saw in London where they had the paramilitary police that were engaged in defending the torch, snatching the torch out of some people's hands that had a Free Tibet flag on someone else's soil. So it's the arrogance because they know that at that point in time, they got the spotlight, and they're the ones being favored. And they're the ones everyone's pawing after. Did you have any comment on China at all? And or did you, what were you just, did you want to...
Well, basically, we've got the same problem in England where everything's been made in China. Just found out the apple juice in my favorite supermarket's coming from China. And our country used to be the orchard of the world, the orchard of Europe, really.
You know what's going to get real popular is organic clothing in the next couple of years, you know, with all the stuff about formaldehyde. You know, I went shopping today. It's a rare thing when I go to the mall. I spend more time watching the human zoo than anything else. And the crazy video games, like I mentioned earlier, about beaming up to Scotty and talking to the draconian aliens. They're going to guide us in our exoskeletons as we fight in the new robotic army in the new 21st century. But besides all that stuff that's in the video game department, they're sending these kids in some weird areas psychologically, I don't know. All the clothing from China, and I don't even know whether it's even safe to put on my body, let alone know that it was made in a slave factory, perhaps, whether it's safe for me. And you look around at what we have in Portland, and we got some more options than some people with hemp clothing and whatnot. But for a lot of people, it's either the web or bust. It's the mall. It's formaldehyde central, the highway of milk and honey in America today. It's scary.
Talking about the chemicals now, this is something we know just in our country with recycling, where we're getting... huge, great containers coming over from China with the goods that they're selling us, and they go back empty. So what do they fill them with? Our recycles.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we recycle is being thrown into these ships and sent back over there. And they are dealing with it. There's one village there has been actually closed down because it's dangerous. It's toxic.
There are no stuff that we are supposed to be recycling.
Yeah, well, most... great deal of our stuff. We haven't got any facilities to recycle it. Once it's put in the bins and taken away, the fact they're finding us for putting the wrong thing in the wrong bin is another story. But nonetheless, once we've separated into about five different bins, and it's all got carted off, it's all thrown into the hold of these Chinese ships, taken over there, and they're taken to certain villages, processing place. The kids are just roaming around the rubbish, picking out what they want, you know? There's no health and safety regulations. There's nothing about toxic fumes. There's no regulation there. They've just been getting rid of it for the profit. And literally, they're getting sick.
Well, maybe in a little bit, let's go back to that folder you brought up, where you had brought up what was the title of that?
Oh, Sustainable Development, Behind the Green Curtain. This is a presentation given by Michael Shaw a short while ago. It's a transcript. And it's the hidden agenda behind sustainable development. it's a very, very big subject, and it's a bit difficult to get your head around. You have to really go into this, because on the face of it, it's a fantastic idea. It's brilliant. You know, you can't argue with it until you get a little bit deeper in and you find out the small print that's going on behind it.
Yeah.
And literally, they're using the global warming. I call it the global warming con to push this sustainable development syllabus forward.
Let's talk about CO2 then. We were talking about it earlier. There's a report out on in this many different views on CO2, but there is a scientific report that says it contributes to plant growth, CO2, and it came out in the AP today. James, did you catch that at all? Some of those reports. Do you have some thoughts on that? I'm trying to wrap my head around CO2 and what it is, and differentiate between regular CO2 and the emissions that comes out of the back of a vehicle.
I posted the story up on MediaMonarchy.com today, but I added my own sarcastic headline that says, "Newsflash, plants love CO2. In other news, fish like water and humans like oxygen. This seems kind of almost a non-story in a way, where they almost have to come back out and say, oh, by the way, CO2 is part of the natural gas that we need here on Earth with oxygen and water and carbon dioxide. Just a lot of different battles, and whether it's, you know, the thousands of scientists that say, yes, man-made global warming is the imminent threat and we need to take drastic measures and carbon credits and all of that, or the other tens of thousands that sign a paper that say, no, we doubt that it's purely man-made. And we know that Mars is heating up. It's, you know, are we doing that?
Wasn't I supposed to be worried about bird flu?
Or bird flu, or the ice age that was supposed to happen in the 70s.
Maybe they're waiting for the Olympics first.
That could be, well, and speaking of the Olympics, you mentioned the ride.
Get all those people at one spot. Okay, go back to your own country. No, I mean, that's a horrible thought, but I'm not crazy for wondering that anymore. That's the upsetting thing. These are crazy things. These are crazy thoughts, and they should never manifest.
The riots in China you mentioned, I'm veering off.
Okay.
Back.
Riots in China.
And I had posted that up as well, and it's really interesting because on the one hand you have China being basically the model of totalitarian state. But then on the other hand, you still actually have thousands of farmers that will get out literally with pitchforks and revolt.
With pitchforks.
And we don't really seem to have that here.
Do they have bullhorns there? No, that would probably be bad. No, well, you know.
You never know.
Yeah.
But just
probably
the idea that, you know, like we were saying earlier, you know, oh, you Americans, that it's not that simple. And we can't say, oh, you Chinese, it's not that simple, because still ultimately in a ultra repressive society, 1,000 people can go with pitchforks and they may get the brutal end of it, but that they still at least have some kind of fighting spirit left. And those people all over the place are our brothers and sisters.
Exactly. Going through the, yeah.
And so I think the setup and the lead up to the Olympics and the 808, which actually, just as you first mentioned it, and you said, of course, you know, all the sort of Nazi imagery and the running of the torches, when you just said 808, I hadn't thought of this yet, but do the rings almost make an 888? I'd have to look at it, but somebody check that out. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay.
But that it's, we're going to have the Olympics in China. We're going to be kicking off with our conventions here. But we don't even know if our dollar will make it that long, or God knows what will happen. I think that's really what's hard right now, is it seems that we're getting hit on so many different levels. And if you pay attention to the dollar too much, then you miss the provocative action in the Gulf.
You miss the UFO story.
Or you miss the UFO story.
Or the fact the magnetic gravitational field is shifting. I'm like, what the heck? Okay, so am I supposed to run to a metaphysical guru now and find out more about the pole shift happening? I mean, you don't know what to believe or what's accurate, because, you know, the planet's shifting real quickly here. You know, I have no faith in ATMs and the dollar whatsoever. I do think that we will see, you know, if there's just too much data. September is a big point. You know, there's a lot of people, though, that are, you'll even find white supremacists, like that guy, what's his name, Hal Turner?
Hal
Turner. Okay, that guy's a Fruit Loop. But he thinks and knows that, or whatever, that there's going to be an economic crash. But, you know, he seems to be like some sort of a provocateur, because you go on his website that was Googling stuff for September crash, fall crash, economic problems, and up pops this guy's website. And I looked at it, and here he is saying that people should commit violence against people on Wall Street, and he has a supposed list of people's addresses. It seems that, you know, somebody could also benefit from using their site to track ISPs, people interested in gathering that information.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that a lot of people willing to react violently, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
The
they just
becomes,
want...
Instead of looking at how do we fix this and really survive.
They just need a spark, in a way. And that's what it kind of, again, feels like as we're kind of amping up for these next few months, that everything feels like a tinderbox. And that all anything needs is a spark. And whether that's provocateur anarchists and protesters in Denver or St. Paul for the conventions, or whether that's a provocative action in the coast, I think it's basically data overload. And so at some point, you can't process it all. And the problem that we get a lot of times in the mainstream media is that they put things out, and it's all not necessarily lies, but there's no context. There's no dot connecting.
Exactly. When people are just trying to keep their homes and feed themselves. So here locally, we see more people sleeping on the streets, and people trying to figure out how do we deal with this cramped coexistence. In Los Angeles, more people sleeping out of their cars. More people sleeping out of their cars. In Portland, I know we have people in California that are actually loving enough to work towards setting aside places where people can park and not be harassed by any way the police, a safe area. And that's one of the things that we have to do in Portland. So pick up on that concept. Glenn's got a comment on that after this.
Gold prices are at historic highs, and with the recent pullback, this is a great time to buy. With the value of the dollar, risks of inflation, geopolitical uncertainties, and instability in world financial systems, I see gold going up much higher. Hi, I'm Tim Fry at Roberts & Roberts Brokerage. Everybody should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. At Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, you can buy gold, silver, and platinum with confidence from a brokerage that's specialized in the precious metals market since 1977. If you are new to precious metals, we will happily provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision whether or not you choose to purchase from us. Also, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage values your privacy and will always advise you in the event that we would be required to report any transaction. If you have gold, silver, and platinum you'd like to sell, we can convert it for immediate payment. Call us at 800-874-9760. We are Roberts & Roberts Brokerage. 800-874-9760.
It's everywhere. A sinister architecture designed by the satanic Illuminati elite has spread across the world. It covers our government buildings, our biggest banks and corporate headquarters broadcast its darkest secrets. And even some of our largest churches are designed as shrines to the New World Order. But this secret architecture is no longer a secret. Author Tex Mars has decoded their esoteric meanings in his new book, Mysterious Monuments, the sequel to his groundbreaking work, Codex Magica. And for the release of his new book, Tex has agreed to give an in-depth lecture on the occult meanings of these mysterious monuments at Brave New Books on Friday, July 11th at 7 p.m. This is a special one-time-only event where Tex will try to answer any questions you might have. So mark your calendars for Friday, July 11th, 7 p.m. at Brave New Books, 1904 Guadalupe. If you have any questions, please call the bookstore at 512-480-2503.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
Yeah, highly unlikely any form of electronic money from this point out is going to be safe. It's a real, real volatile time because, you know, they say in the future that the weapons are going to be laser weapons, EMP weapons, you know, things that will take out the electric grid. Talk about China. There are rumors that they've been testing some of these weapons. They may have been responsible for a recent East Coast blackout, some analysts in the U.S. military say. So, you know, these things are going on.
In terms of blackouts, we need to remember that the power grids in America have not been maintained for like 50 years. What I was going to say earlier before the break, here's a nightmare scenario about the crashing dollar. On some of the programs I've heard on WTPRN and other places, they say, oh, well, be sure you have some cash at home. Be sure you have some cash at home, not that electronic stuff. Well, remember, that paper is not worth anything anyway, and all the authorities have to do is at a given point in time say, whoops, the only the electronic money counts, and all that old paper stuff, this paper wall was it. It's no good. So therefore, the good little people who kept their money in electronic money still have something left. Of course, it's under the absolute control of the authority.
Right.
And they can also play games with, oh, your electronic money didn't work. It was one of those glitches that just happened. But you'll find those glitches just happen to certain people.
Mm-hmm.
That was really all I wanted to say.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. North American Union, Amero, the whole concept of that being a replacement for the U.S. economy, it seems to be on the way. I just don't know how much chaos will take place before the NAU is formed. We haven't mentioned the state of Iowa once tonight. I went and I looked for some recent information. You know, things become news one week and they're not news the next week because things are moving so fast. You know, I'm not seeing anything on Iowa. What happened there? What about the people that were living in the... Nope. It's time to go back and start focusing on, you know, Obama and McCain. It's time to focus on... Oh, here's another picture of Obama with a shovel in his hand. Look at him. He's shoveling some mud. Go ahead.
Yeah, speaking of Iowa, biofuels were huge. At the time when they were doing the primaries, Iowa benefited from, of course, the corn, the heavy thing. There's been more corn grown in the United States because of global warming climate issues than since 1944. Speaking of Iowa, now, just we were talking about global warming earlier, and the other gentleman brought up an interesting subject about the CO2 at the plant. Which, you know, they definitely need the CO2. The problem is that there's too much CO2. There's an overload. Now, it seems like the initial warnings on global warming were only about CO2, whereas everybody just has the CO2 in their head. Now, global warming is caused by greenhouse gases. The result of that is climate change. A lot of people have trouble separating the two. Now, there's a lot of things causing climate change, and the the environmental disasters we're seeing now, you know, it's not just CO2. Methane is 20 times more powerful. We get 75% of our oxygen from the ocean. Okay, this is a big problem. I mean, we want to plant trees because they give oxygen, but what about the ocean? That's 75% where you have the other 25% from the trees. So on the issue with global warming, it's the impending environmental disasters and the ones that are occurring now because of various factors besides the greenhouse gases, a.k.a., or I should say, i.e., our pollution, our everyday pollution, toxic chemicals, et cetera, are accelerating, you know, the environmental destruction that we see now. But what has happened is a lot of bad press on biofuels, et cetera, yes, because, I mean, if you think about it logically, to take food out of your mouth and put it in a gas tank where there's 25,000 people die every day from starvation, it's not the smartest thing. Economically feasible, yes. So it goes on and on, not to get off the subject, but a lot of people have been disheartened, like it's another government scam. It is to a point because they're giving lucrative, responses, you know, and to the problem, you know, and then people find themselves, oh, have we been duped by the government again? And then, you know, they don't show in the paper the environmental degradation. They have, and, you know, things have changed because more people are aware and their intentions are on solving the problem for, you know, the future generations and themselves. So that's what I try to steer away from. I noticed that as soon as environmental issues were getting, you know, way on top of the press, all of a sudden gas went up. and boom, right after that, it was the food. So it was like you were saying earlier, how are you going to think about the environment when the average person has to get to work, can't figure out how to get to work because of the gas, and then to feed himself and his family, you know, then all of a sudden the environment is not that big of an issue. So if you look at it that way, it's just another trick, you know. And you were speaking of New World Order. They've been putting down global warming stuff, trying to, you know, stash that far away for so long, and then now it came out in the open, and they would like it to go away again because of big oil, et cetera.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying on that, and the environment really, really is screwed up, and there's different perspectives on that because there are some New World Order people that see a way to use global warming to create a global taxation scheme, but the money wouldn't fix the global climate change problems, but just line the pockets of more bureaucrats, because a lot of people don't know is, well, what is actually causing the global cooling in some places where it's usually warm, and the warming in some places where it's usually cool, in a world where, you know, we're entering sunspot cycle 24 or about to go into a big area time period of major sunspot activity affecting not only electromagnetics, transmission, radio, cell phones, all those things, but the human body itself. So as the environment goes through things, people on a physiological level and psychological level, you were talking about people in the city going crazy. That's what I'm talking about. I think that, you know, maybe some people can become very enlightened. Who knows? You know, some people think that the sun has that type of power. Who knows? But I can at least say that some people are going crazy to a certain degree in the city, from all the stuff going on, from the weird weather patterns. Their mood's going up and down, just like it going from a really hot day to a day where it's in the 50s or 60s in June. It's where you ride around with an umbrella and a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
No one knows what to expect from the weather anymore.
It's a bit much, and you were talking about China. I mean, in Beijing, they walk around with the face masks. Most people on there, the pollution is that bad. A little test run for the Olympics last summer, the government, which, by the way, is still communist over there, everybody keeps forgetting because we're getting all our goods from there, and I thought we didn't deal with communism. That's another story. But, you know, the government ordered no vehicles for 3 days at all in Beijing just to do a test to see for the Olympics, and it barely put a dent. And, I mean, there was no operating vehicles, period, for the 3 days.
Now they're trying to clean up the bloom of algae.
Right, the bloom of algae.
And they're sending their people in there. There's a picture of them. They're diving in the water. You know, they got the stuff on the head. Keep their
yeah.
hair dry. They're diving in the water. And
they're paying them pennies.
They're in middle duty. Maybe it's that volunteerism. Maybe they got a volunteerism program that's making that possible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a different situation. The situation is worldwide. China, you know, has a lot of people. I mean, India has 1/6 of the population of the world. A lot of people don't know that. You know, you wonder why there's a pause on the New World Order stuff that you were talking about. It seems like they're trying to get China's well on the way. Beijing has been industrialized quite a bit. What they're trying to do is get everybody hooked on the American dream. And, you know, nothing, I love my country. Now, the problem is what we see here, and their media doesn't tell them, is we see the end products we're starting to see now. The, you know, our luxurious lifestyles have degraded the environment and are separating, you know, the working class. There is no middle class just about anymore. And
the classes, we have a break coming up, and the nations and some of the races and communities. It's, well, you know what we're looking at is a global crash, not just a systematic American one, but it's going to affect the entire planet. And we know that for sure. We'll be back in just a few.
It's time to think outside the box with your host, Alex Andrewy, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Central every Saturday right here on We the People Radio Network.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Alex.
Tim is a collective member volunteer here at Laughing Horse. So how often does the Internet go down like that?
Well, lately it has not gone down at all. We have DSL, and it's been remarkably consistent. That's been my experience on this computer for the last 2 years. So it's a little surprising that it went down right now.
It is. Well, let's talk about a few things before, like some of the issues we were talking about before, and there's a lot we'd even get into, but we know there's Mo waiting in Bradley in Texas, and we don't have the internet guys to bring you up, but we're going to have our producer there in Texas start with you, Mo. Go ahead. Mo, are you with us?
Yes. Thank you very much for taking my call. Can you hear me good?
Yeah, we can hear you good. I can. Now, the rest of the people here can't, but yes.
Okay, sure. I would like to ask your guest, since we talk about global new world order, which is very, very bad things for all of us in this. I mean, we lost our jobs in the United States day and night. Every day somebody goes out of jobs, millions of people going out of jobs in the United States. And I would like to ask your guest, about the what do you think of? Are they going to put on our throat also global religions such as Mitra or Islam or Catholic or Baha'i religion? Are these one of these four are going to be the next global religion?
Global religion? Well, we're actually not a guest so much. It was just simply a comment somebody was making earlier. I don't. No, if we can get into all that, me and Tim here are going to talk about some other things. So, no,
I mean, what would be the next world religion?
Yeah, did you want a perspective on an idea about a world religion? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. Whether Islam, whether it's going to be Christianity, whether it's going to be Baha'i, or whether it's going to be Mitra.
Well, I do have a perspective on that, and that is when we look at how this modern culture is filling the need for religion in the population, at least in the United States right now, it's largely being filled by things like sports and other, you know, secular activities where they create saints and stars. I mean, it's Hollywood. It's not even going to be one of these mainline religions from the way it looks to me. Everyone's going to be in the mall, and the mall will provide the religion in the form of some, you know, football star or whoever, and they'll rotate them in and out, and that's what they're doing now. And you take a look at these sporting events. They just had the Olympic trials down in Eugene. The athletes apparently have neutered their politics right off their bodies and only would wave an American flag when they won, and it was a complete religious event. And so that's what's going to be the world religion that I can see if the capitalists have their way.
Yes, especially I study religions, and Baha'i headquarters is in Israel, in Haifa, and Baha'is are globalists, and Baha'is also support Agenda 21. And also, that's why I asked you that, because it's very weird that their holy places are all saturated. I mean, all are equipped with anti-aircraft, anti-missile by the IDF. That's the latest news that I have found out. And it's very weird that they're protecting all their holy places, but other.
Yeah, I know where you're going with it, and I think it's
even,
you know,
Christianity. Even Christianity, they are not even protecting their holy places. So can you? I mean, isn't that connecting the dots?
Yeah, it is connecting the dots. It absolutely is. Yeah, and I mentioned Project Bluebeam, and in Project Bluebeam, where they talk about, you know, fake alien threats and holographic images. You know, there are talks in that little report about, you know, projecting these different, you know, prophets coming together in the skies as one being that all people can worship, where Buddha is the same as Muhammad. And, you know, it's weird because I do think there's a oneness behind different teachings around the world. There is a connection between them. But the way these people are thinking, I don't know. And I don't know whether that's going to happen or not, but I know the Vatican's a weird place. They're saying some strange things. They're getting people ready for some sort of, you know, aliens are our brothers, you know, alongside, you know, massive UFO sightings. I don't know what to believe, and I don't know what they're up to, but they do talk about a one-world religion. Tex Mars does a lot of research into that. And, you know, when it does come to spirituality, though, that's something that a lot of people resonate with. And so that's why it's easy to capitalize on people's fears of the unknown and their desire to be connected with something that's real. So when people capitalize on the information, they can easily steer people in one direction or the other. And
Exactly.
Thank you, Mo.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I want to talk to Bradley in Texas, because I know he's waited a while. Hi, Bradley.
Hey.
Good evening.
Yes, I was telling a question about the North American Union and everything. I heard you talking about it, and I've been, you know, down here in Austin, Texas, being down here and everything, I see a lot of people from Monterrey, Mexico, a place where I work, you know, in Sam's and stuff. I see a lot of more Hispanic, you know, people coming into Texas and everything, you know, with the whole super corridor highway, you know, and all that influx and everything. And I was just wondering, I'm just drawing a blank here. And the Texas, if you ever Google Texas real estate slump or something, it talks about people in Monterey coming into Texas and buying, you know, buying out Texas, you know, instead of, you know, coming over fighting for it, they're, you know, whatever, they're buying it. And so my concern is, when do you think, or what will it get us to the point where they make us accept the Amero? I mean, what should we do to, you know, with the whole North, you know, North American Union thing and everything?
This is James again from MediaMonarchy.com. Bradley, good to talk to you, man.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that story. I posted it up, and you can check it out. I think if you basically Google something like Texas for sale, and it was an article, of course, from, I think I got it from The Guardian, somewhere from the U.K., reporting on our, of course, dire situation because they're not doing
it
here.
I saw it on the Bloomberg News.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it didn't make it here. But that basically, it was saying Mexicans encouraged to basically reclaim Texas. And that because the dollar is so down and the peso has actually been up for the most part, that they're basically able to come in and buy things up cheap, much like, you know, tourists coming to New York. You have businesses there saying, you know, euros accepted, please. So I'm
concerned about cartel people setting up shop, too, on the side, you know, with all this stuff going on in Phoenix and that guy having his house machine-gunned 100 rounds. These guys were Mexican mafia cartel / military. You know, nowadays, they just go back and forth over there, and there are hundreds of people killed in Mexico. People reporting on it get killed in Mexico, and the U.S. government, the White House, says.
Yeah, and
we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, what do you think about the American people? I mean, we got so much fluoride that we got in all of our drinks, beer, whatever you want to call it. I mean, we breathe it when we take a shower. So wouldn't you think that make the American people more docile to not even care? You know, I mean, Hitler used it.
It seems like the people are really docile, and it seems like on the one hand you would think, God, you know, wouldn't we have done something by now? That unfortunately it's probably going to take the bottom to really fall out to really make people wake up. Just posted up today, and this is interesting. I think this maybe ties in with it because I always like to think of the ideas of, you know, predictive programming and things in the media. MGM announced today that they're going to remake Red Dawn. Red Dawn, of course, being the famous 1984 film where the Russians and the Cubans invade America and the Wolverines have to fight back.
Who's going
to
remake it?
They mentioned some names, and I believe they're tied in with the Bourne conspiracy and or supremacy and those types of films. So it's basically going to be an amped up, more intense, more paranoid post 9/11 version of Red Dawn. And is that what we're looking at? So again, is there going to be some sort of spark that sets off some, basically a civil war, another civil war?
That's predicted after the economy goes and after the U.S. government goes in 2009, if that actually comes to fruition, that it will come down to that. Who the players will be in that, I don't know. I'll tell you, Schwarzenegger's playing a part somewhere, and so is Bloomberg. We know that much. And Schwarzenegger, I didn't really know how open he was about his Nazi belt buckle until I saw the Time magazine cover recently in the Truth Chronicle. Hey, Brad, did you see the Truth Chronicle movie?
Yeah, I saw that whole thing, man. That was amazing, dude. It made me, I loved the whole thing. Just the guy, all the guys standing up for it, man. It just made me wanted to start something where I'm at now. Because, I mean, I know there's like not, I mean, there might be something going on. We got brave new books and stuff and places like that here in Austin. But I don't see anything like weird change where people are getting together and, like, you know, protesting against it. I think more people should do it here, at least in Austin, Texas, where it's least going on in Texas.
All right, we have the last little pause here, and we'll be back in just a sec.
Okay.
Yeah. So a remake of Red Dawn, huh?
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Last segment here on We the People Radio Network. We're going to talk to Bradley, then we're going to talk to James. James got to go to work, and then we're going to talk to Tim. Hey, Bradley, though, I mean, what's the weather like in Texas at the moment, though? Is it somewhat stable?
It's real cloudy and humid, but it's, you know, other than that, it's just a normal summer.
Yeah.
But I was want to get, because I know you get running on time with talking to different people, but I was want to know, with all these new movies are coming out, they're all like zombies and, you know, some kind of man-made virus flicks and stuff, and they've been coming out in the past 5-6 years. What is your opinion on that? What do you think they're trying to get us ready for?
Oh, I've talked a lot about that in the past, but in short, they're keeping people on edge. He was asking about disaster movies. Bird flu, all these horrible different ways you can die. How far can we expand our imagination and just push the limits? And
I mean, it's like
creativity of Resident Evil, Extinction. There's an example. I sat down and watched a week and a half ago, and I don't normally watch movies like Resident Evil or 28 Days Later. By the way, I think 28 Days Later is like a metaphor for our society. But anyway. In Resident Evil Extinction, it's like an evil underground corporation that unleashes a virus that causes people to go crazy. And you know, James, have you seen Resident Evil Extinction?
I've not seen Resident Evil, but I've seen 28 Days Later, and I think definitely the idea of all these sort of bioterror movies. They just remade The Andromeda Strain, and M. Night Shyamalan's new film, The Happening, I believe it's called, is basically about some mysterious virus that wipes people out. I think a lot of it is predictive programming, getting us set for, I think, whatever the next event will be. It can't be planes into buildings again. I think they're going to have to pull something bigger and something kind of bio.
Well, they already are with the, you know, with the crop failures and all that
crop
stuff.
Failures.
That's good enough as it is, you know.
And billboards. Billboards. There's a Red Cross billboard that has been seen at a couple different places. I caught it last year, and this is something that I'll try to bring out on the TV show again to show you the graphic of the billboard where it says next terror attack, it's a Red Cross billboard, and it's talking about being prepared for the next attack, and it shows a newspaper that says America Under Siege, and the date on it says it's November 9th, 2009, and reverse November 9th, and it's 9/11. So they're playing the numerology switch here on the Red Cross bulletin, warning you that you should be prepared. And if you look on the fine print on that little mock newspaper in that bulletin board, billboard, it says bird flu attack. It's small, little fine print. It's a torn piece of paper that was magnified and put up on the billboard.
Well,
and
let me
so
ask
it's
you one more
there
question.
In the consciousness.
What do you think would be the best thing to do here in Austin, you know, I mean, as far as to waken people up, you know, because there's still, you know, like I was saying, there's still a lot of people. It's like I meet so many people and talk to so many people, and they're just like zombies. They're just almost not, I mean, ignorant to it, you know, like they don't care. But, you know, it's like this stuff is serious and this stuff is going on, and eventually it's going to catch up to them and they're going to wake up, you know, in that. You know, and what do you think would be the best thing to do to, I guess,
I think lone wolf is always the way to go. You're not always going to be able to necessarily get some big group together.
Writing some posters, whatever, and standing on the streets or what?
Well, Bradley, let's go ahead. let me say that for people listening, let's get some different suggestions on what that could be for the next show coming up on Saturday here. Because, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can go. You got Access TV down there. You have community stations.
Yeah.
You have a lot of people divided, clearly. in Austin, Texas, on political issues, because I've been there one time in 2005, and you have the mainstream protesters, and then you have the, you know, the clique of the conspiracy researchers and analyzers of the hardcore news that hang out at places like Brave New Books and some of the other places, and people that run around, people like Jack Blood and all the different groups that are there, and the people that are active against the Trans-Texas Corridor, and then you got RBN, you have WTPRN, and you know, you have a lot of different opportunities for change there. Look at all those different people that protested against the NAU in downtown Austin. So on one end, you got more people that know about this kind of stuff in that city. So remember that, because we're a city, an activist city, but it is very, it does feel very separated at times.
Well, and we basically got 10 people here together out of the blue, and we can blast out worldwide. And so, Alex, I want to thank you for doing this in WTPRN, and I'm going to pass the mic.
Thank you, Bradley, for your call.
No problem, dude. I keep up with your stuff every week, man. Thanks, dude.
Thank you. Well, we'll try to come back to that. Again, I want to do a creative protest to where I'm not so much bullhorning, but just holding the sign. Maybe get a dry erase
board. Like the guys in Truth and 11 or 9/11 Chronicles. You know, the guys are just walking down the street.
Yeah, but change your message with like a dry eraser board where, you know, economy is crashing, wake up. Where are your dollars, or how are you going to feed your kids next year? Very direct, you know,
that's pretty smart,
question
though.
Type of statements where you can almost do it dressed as the Grim Reaper in downtown Austin, downtown Portland, downtown Manhattan. All right, thank you, Bradley.
Thanks, man.
We have, what time do we have, about 5 till? 7 till? Tim, you work here at the bookstore. You're surrounded by books information, people walking in and out all the time. Do you think that people are increasingly waking up, or we're pretty much just sitting ducks for what's going to happen next?
Well, I wish I could say I thought people were waking up. Some people wake up a little bit. A lot of people don't want to know about it, and that has been my experience protesting around Portland. I mean, I understand that Bradley's frustration about protesting. I was down at the Rose Festival, which was largely a military recruiting festival here in Portland. It's 10-day long. They had the Marines, they had the Army, they had everybody there.
You saw that too.
Oh my God! And I've actually seen them at other festivals. At a small town festival, they had the National Guard, and they had every gun they used on a table, and they were encouraging these kids to pick them up and practice using them. And here we are in the middle of a quagmire nightmare war where, you know, these guys are just being signed up as cannon fodder, and yet the connection is not being made. The fact that, you know, in these various small towns, people are being buried, people are coming back maimed, and it's like they're still signing them up. And part of it is this culture has become so vacant of meaning that so many kids in these places have no other idea of what to do. And that is the most frustrating and sad part, is that the imagination for change, the imagination of what it takes to get to the other side, is just seemingly lacking among a lot of people. And the people who really start to swim, they end up being pretty far away from the rest of the herd. You know, the conspiracy theorists, the 9/11 truth people, I mean, they're like 100 yards out, and people don't want to go. So it's been a frustrating thing, and I'm searching for ways to reach out. And I think, you know, and on the flip side, their next event is to create refugees all over this country. You know, I don't know how it's going to happen, some incredible disaster. And I think people in general have to prepare to become refugees. And so I just want to encourage everyone to get their bike together. I also work in a bike shop at City Bikes here next to Laughing Horse Books, and bikes are going to be the transportation that's going to outlast, you know, the internal combustion and get your ass out of these camps before they put you in them. And how are you going to move around? You better figure that out, because it's not going to be by car.
I thought I read somewhere that Steven Spielberg had said that when he remade War of the Worlds, it was so much about ETs or any of that stuff. It was about, I heard this from Clyde Lewis, that it was about Americans living the refugee experience, that it was all just a metaphor for something else.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
you combine that with a food issue, though, and then trying to house yourself, whether it be keep your house or not get a ticket for parking your van somewhere on a public street, things are going
to
be tough, yeah.
Things are totally going to be tough, and you're going to have to go to the periphery, and you're going to have to live on the periphery and find your way back in, and you're going to need a bike to do that. So, anyway, not to plug bikes too much.
you got a bike store. You're going to be one of those guys in the future that knows how to got a skill set.
That's right. That's right. And I urge everyone to figure that out and start practicing. It's great to go on long bike rides. It's an inexpensive way to have some leisure time and rehearse.
And I've been thinking about not only getting the bike, but detoxifying from all these pollutants that we voluntarily put in our body, from the foods that we're eating to some of the drinks. And I don't just mean soft drinks. That's easy. I'm not going to go to McDonald's, but going a little bit deeper, looking at all these empty carbs, because we need a lot more energy now than we did in the past, a lot more. There's just a whole area to that.
And you know, I have to say, even as I speak on this cordless phone, the radio waves of this culture have gotten more intense. You know, the cell phones, everything. So one has to wonder the electromagnetic aspect to our craziness. So,
you know, they found that cell phone masks contribute to suicides in the UK. So, you know, in the future, we're going to be looking back going, eh, I wish they made a move quicker than they did. And they're talking about by 2020, 2 million people having multiple cancer, epilepsy, and things like that from devices like this. We will see you Saturday at noon Pacific time, 2 o'clock Central time. Thank you for listening. Thank the people that are here for being here. And thank the producer down there for manning the Central Command Station in Austin, Texas. This is We the People Radio Network. Good night.